was kind of the planning situation like for Filmland this year?
So we first had to secure a venue, and we had talked about doing a pop-up venue in downtown Little Rock somewhere. And we started getting into quotes, and it was becoming cost prohibitive. Just in terms of, like, you know, when we screen these unreleased films, they have security requirements that are totally dictated by what projectors we have. And so the projectors are a really big deal. And in order to get those in and set up the screens and have the quality control that we always want and the studios require with these unreleased films, it was just cost prohibitive. And then MP Outdoor Cinema opened, and we were like, oh, maybe that's a possibility. So we called them, and they were, of course, lovely. We talked about doing a pop-up in downtown Little Rock, and they were going to help us with it. And they were like, you know what, why don't you just do it here? We've already done all of this. And, you know, in tandem, helping a new local cinema, it just felt like an absolute fit. And at that point, I kind of unleashed our board members to start programming Filmland. And that really wasn't that long ago.
What are the advantages to this year's format compared to, you know, years before?
Well, so this year's format, you know, we can't screen movies during the day because it has to be dark. And so we were only able to program four films because our festival Filmland is only 4 days, and it's all curated, and we have single venue so that everybody can interact and see the same films and talk about them. But obviously we can't screen films during the day. So we only had four films to program. So we really went after some hot big titles, to try to drive folks there. And, you know, this year also has been pretty great because we moved from August to October, and we did that actually pre-COVID. We decided to have Filmland in October last year because we were hoping this would happen and we could get some of the hot titles coming out of Venice International and Toronto International and be able to screen those films for Arkansans, because a lot of times, you know, these films that are award contenders, they don't screen in Arkansas until after they've won. And so a lot of times, you know, even just like my parents, who are huge movie buffs, like, they really want to see the films, you know, before they win Oscars. And so this is kind of, you know, we're hoping we can get some titles out of like Sundance and Toronto and South By and be able to give our audience some of the perks of living in a bigger city.
Is the programming, do you feel like the programming you could do this time a little more limitless because you don't have to worry about like bringing the filmmakers in and you can do it through Zoom or, you know, through other video conferencing?
In a lot of ways, yeah, that's been a perk because a lot of these people are really, you know, like, we just had Jennifer Siebel Newsom, who is the first partner of California, and she's also a filmmaker. She's actually a filmmaker first and first partner of California second. But she's an incredible filmmaker, and we were able to do a Zoom Q&A with her several weeks ago. And, you know, getting her here would have was like, you know, getting the First Lady of the United States here. So, you know, in some ways, like, it's allowing us, it's kind of everyone's learning curve on Zoom and FaceTime has gone up dramatically. And so I feel like it's, you know, everyone knows Zoom. Everyone knows how to use Zoom now. And so it makes it a lot more accessible. Whereas like 9 months ago, if we did a Zoom, I don't know if people would, you know, care or do it or know how.
So kind of let's talk about the films themselves. Kind of tell me about the films that you're screening. Why did you choose them? What do you think that audiences will get out of them?
Well, so the way I see it is Thursday night. And it is a documentary about White House photographer Pete Souza. Jamie Lemons is one of the producers on that film. So I've been following it for a couple of years now, and I've been really excited about it. And then it was an official selection of both Telluride and Toronto So it's, you know, another film that's, you know, hot out of the gates. And this, you know, will be a sneak preview for Arkansas. And then Friday night, we're screening One Night in Miami, which is, of course, Regina King's directorial debut. It's, you know, another film that's hot out of the gates of Venice and Toronto and is a huge award contender. And then Saturday night, of course, we're screening Nomadland, which won the highest, most prestigious award at the Venice Film Festival and then the International Film Festival. And then it also won the People's Choice Award at Toronto International Film Festival. It's one of the main awards contenders right now, and starring Frances McDormand and directed by female Chloe Zhao. And it looks like an incredible film. Again, I haven't seen it yet, but it's obviously gotten rave reviews to be winning all of these awards already. Sunday, we're screening Dreamland, which was an official selection last year of Tribeca, and it is not out. And so it will be a sneak preview as well. A lot of times we'll have already released films. We'll be screening already released films, like Toy Story 4 last year had been out for a couple of months, but we brought Andrew Stanton, who is the creator and writer with Pixar. But we'd like to do, really, it's about the filmmaker. But this year, I felt like was really important to get unreleased content. And so we went after less of the released content than we normally do, because we're not able to bring the filmmaker here. And everybody's been stuck at home watching all of this content at home already, you know, in quarantine. And so we really just wanted to give the community access to new content and the most cutting edge content.